everybody. My name is Mike Crawford, and normally I'm not standing down here. I'm standing up there, and I have a guitar on, but about once a year, they allow me to come down here and mingle with all of you. I was really tired this afternoon. I've been up a long time. I was kind of nervous, you know, talking in front of people gets me a little bit wound up, and so I woke up really early, and I don't know, I'm just kind of, but coming into this space is just so awesome. I've been coming here for 13 years, and particularly, you know, in the evening and in winter, it just never gets old. You know, I just love this space. There's something so warm about it, and so it's the Spirit of the Lord, honestly, I think, that fills this space, and that it's our hearts that are connecting, and but there's something about this space that I just love. So thanks for being here tonight. We're glad you're all here. You know, this Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas, for the past few years, we've been doing sort of a more kind of a chilled thing with more kind of not really a sermon. I don't have a sermon for you tonight. We're going to reflect on some scripture. We do maybe a little bit more music than we do on regular days, which is, I think, a good thing. I'm biased. to be really honest, the Sunday between Christmas Eve and New Year's, church staff is just kind of tired. And so we just did a big thing, right? We just did a big shindig a couple days ago. So to try to get another sermon series together or, I don't know, it's just kind of a nice break for us too. So something that we do weekly in our staff meetings is we take some scripture and we read it together and then we reflect. We're going to be reading some scripture tonight, and I'm going to be reflecting. I'm not going to like be able to listen to all the reflections, but I'm hoping that some things that I reflect about the scripture will cause you to think maybe later in this week. Maybe even tonight, you'll have some time to reflect. We're going to put some questions up on the screen a little bit later, and so I hope that you all got a card and a pen. If you didn't get a card and a pen when you came in, if you can raise your hand and Caitlin can bring you something. There'll just be a few questions to write down, and I thought, you know, you can take those with you and reflect on them this week. Kind of the way I got to where we're, the scripture that we're going to reflect on, I mean, it's the Magi, it's the three wise men, kind of an obvious next step from Wednesday night. But, you know, I was, another, to be quite honest, I was sort of trying to figure out a way to play this song that the band I've had them, Micah and the team learn. I learned it for this morning. It's a song by a band called Low. It's my second favorite Christmas album of all time. My first is Charlie Brown. I mean, come on. That is top five Desert Island of any album for me. Like, that album goes with me probably to the grave. I'm a sucker for Charlie Brown, but my second favorite is this album by Low. It's a slowcore band from the 90s. They're still going. They're an awesome band. Really mellow, really chilled out, husband and wife, beautiful vocals, really slow music. But their Christmas album, you should check it out. It came out in 1999. It's great. There's a song called Long Way Around the Sea that's sort of their imaginative take on the wise men leaving Jesus, going back after the angel warned them not to go back the same way they came. And so they have this song going the long way back around the sea. So this was sort of my excuse to be able to play that song and during a reflective time. And so that's kind of where we came to this scripture. As I was kind of thinking about that idea in that song and what excuse could I have to play that song in church, I was talking to Shane, who was just up here, And he was like, oh, I did this whole reflective thing on the gifts of the wise men a couple years back, and so maybe you could use part of that. And I was like, yes, I don't have to think up new stuff. So we're going to reflect on some of Shane's stuff, some reflections that I had too. But before we go any further, let's just pray and ask the Spirit to fill this time and help us to reflect on his word. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We come seeking you. Holy Spirit, we know that you can open our hearts and enliven the scriptures for us. The story of the three wise men is a story that most of us have heard since we were small children, so it's not new, and it probably won't seem very fresh to us. But I'm praying, Lord, that by your Spirit, that you would open up some new thing in it for us. You would help us to gain some insight into who you are, or who we are, who we might be as we live in you. And we need your help to do this, Lord. So, Spirit, we ask that you would open our minds, open our hearts now, and open your word to us. Speak through these scriptures to us. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. And so now, listen and reflect as the scripture is read by Caitlin.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem and Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
This is the word of the Lord. Okay, yeah, so I say this is the word of the Lord, then you all say, thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The two verses that I'm going to reflect on are the last two, the part about the gifts and then the dream. The Magi, they saw the Christmas star, a sign of Jesus coming into the world, and they came to worship him. These were outsiders. They were not Jewish. They were Gentiles, and they saw God's miraculous sign and were drawn into worship, and they came bearing gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I know when I think about gifts and the Lord, I often think about how Christ might help me, or what blessing I might receive from God, or how God might grant me his peace during a difficult time in life. That's sort of how I think about gifts and the Lord. And while God obviously doesn't need anything from us, he's created all things, I find it interesting that the Magi, the Bible tells us that the wise men brought gifts as part of their worship. So as we spend some time today worshiping the God who has come into the world as a child, as a human, I want us to reflect briefly on the symbolism of those three gifts and how they might relate to our giving of gifts to Christ. So the first was gold. The Magi's gift of gold was a way of paying tribute to a king, to one destined for power, wealth, and glory. It's a symbol of purity, radiance, abundance, a beautiful treasure that brings joy. So the first set of questions is around gold. And so if you would write these down for later, what is the gold in my life? What are the precious and radiant gifts that have been made mine? I'm not thinking about, monetary things here. And what would it look like for me to offer my gold as an extension of Christ's own wealth for the blessing of the world? So take some time and write those down. Yeah. Let's move to the second gift. The Magi's gift of frankincense is traditionally seen as recognition of Jesus' association with the divine, and it's an expression of devotion. It was used in worship, where it was burned as a pleasant offering to God. Frankincense, you think about the word incense coming from there. As Christians, we have the privilege of knowing Jesus is the very Son of God, worthy of our worship, devotion, our first and highest attention. In the Bible, the burning of incense represents the prayers of God's people. It's in Psalm 141. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. So the questions around frankincense: what place does prayer and devotion to the Son of God have in my life? And if my heart were God's altar, would there be incense burning regularly? And toward what or whom is its fragrance flowing? So we all burn incense. We all give our devotion or our worship to something. To what is the incense of your life flowing toward? All right, the last gift is myrrh. It's the most mysterious, I guess. It's an exotic aromatic resin that was used in making expensive perfumes and also embalming spices, which I think is the kind of interesting, mysterious part. It's associated with the passion, or with the word passion, in terms of both a burning desire, thinking of expensive perfume, as well as the more basic meaning of the word, coming from that embalming idea of suffering and death. Myrrh was brought as a gift to acknowledge the human suffering Jesus would experience as a man. While frankincense represents sweetness, myrrh represents bitterness. It was a reminder that he identifies with us in our pain and sorrow. So the questions around the gift of myrrh are: what is something that Christ is bidding you to die to in order that you might truly live? And can you see that dying to self as a gift that you might give to God, something that you might offer? Well, I'm going to ask Micah and the team to play a couple of songs that reflect some of these ideas of these gifts and more importantly, the one about the long way around the sea that I really wanted to play for you guys. It's a good song. Before they do that, I did want to reflect on that last idea. Herod wanted the wise men to find where Christ had come into the world and then report back to him. He said he wanted to worship Christ, but what he really wanted to do was to kill the Christ child. The Magi were warned in a dream to go home a more inconvenient route in order to protect Jesus from Herod coming and killing him, and to aid in his coming fully into the world. So the question I have here is, how might you need to take a more circuitous route in your life in order for Christ to come more fully into the world? Can you see that inconvenience as a gift to bring to the Lord? This set of questions is really where this whole reflection came from. I was listening to that song and thinking about, you know, what it meant to be inconvenienced. And something came into my mind about when I was asking those questions, can I see any sort of inconvenience as a gift that I might bring to the Lord? And I thought about, I thought about this. I have a friend. He's an older gentleman, quite a bit older. And he's kind of the most Jesus that I get in my life as far as a person kind of being Jesus to me. And he's poor, very poor, and he lives in some housing downtown. He was in a terrible place. Now he's in a better place. But he doesn't have any family anymore, and he can't get around very good. And he calls me every day. And the thing of it is that I just don't answer that phone call very often. Because I know it's going to be the same phone call every time. He has the same thing that he wants to say every time. And it really, you know, honestly, it's about a 30-second to 2-minute phone call. But it just seems inconvenient, usually. So I just don't answer. And, you know, here's what the phone call would be. Hi, Mike. I love you. I just wanted you to know that I love you. Did you tell my sister that I love her? It's my wife. What did she say back to you when you told her that I love her? Did you tell your kids that I love them? What did they say back to you when you told them that I love them? When are we going to Wendy's next? Why don't I answer that? It just seems inconvenient, I guess. But I think I'm missing out, really, honestly. But I think there's something, too, about him wanting someone to pick up and say, I love you, too. And I don't know what my problem is. But anyway, it's little. It's little. It's a little thing. I wonder if there's little things in your life that you could do that may seem a little bit inconvenient. I'm not talking about major inconveniences, but things that might bring Christ more fully into your life, into someone else's life. So that's kind of what I have to say about that. So thanks for listening, and sing along with these songs or reflect on those questions as they sing these next couple songs, and then we'll move into a time of communion.
We're going to enter into our time of communion now. And just in line with some of the things that we've been talking about today, just consider what are the things that maybe they're occupying your hands, like those gifts that you've been given that maybe you're holding on to that you want to keep. There's all these parts of my life I know that, like, I have this willful part of me that wants to keep things my way and kind of hold things and control things and manage things. And communion is this awesome opportunity to come forward and do really the one necessary thing, which is to open my hands and be ready to receive what God has. That might mean releasing those gifts that he's entrusted you to receive what he has for you. So I'm going to invite you in a moment to come up and receive communion with us as we continue to reflect. And for those of you who are new here, this is a practice we engage in every week as followers of Jesus to identify with his death and resurrection. We come and we receive this bread representing his body that was broken for us, in this cup which represents his blood shed for our forgiveness. And we dip the bread in the cup as you come forward. So if you're committed to following that way with us, we want to invite you to come and join us in this practice. We're going to pray from the screen, if you would join me. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. Let us recall how we were once alienated from God and living in darkness. But through Christ, God has reconciled to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In the cross, we have forgiveness from the penalty of sin. In the resurrection, we have freedom from the power of sin. Let us profess together who God has called us to be. We are a community of people following Jesus and living in the rhythm of God's kingdom. Let us remember the words that the Lord Jesus said on the night he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this when you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.